Hey everyone, this is Annie Tevlin, founder of Skin Owl Skincare and your host of Off the Record, the podcast. From years of helping people with their skin, it dawned on me that when you're talking to people about their skin, be it acne or aging, the conversation so often becomes about one's insecurities, lack of self-worth, and how to reconcile who they are while living in the skin they're in. The road to healing one's skin is not solely paved with a good face oil or eye concentrate, but with an openness that I have felt so fortunate to be on the other end of. This vulnerability motivated me to start a podcast. This podcast, one that has evolved into a magnetic epicenter of amazing humans telling their story in a truly raw and transparent way. Join me every Monday as my guests and I dive deep into universal truths by way of humor, heartache, and hope. Now it's just you and me. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, put me in, put a finger to my lips. Cause I can't say I love what I would do. Off the record with you. Off the record with you. Depending on the decade, history could find a myriad of women asking themselves the same question, just with different identity-shifting mentors. For example, in the 1960s, women had to contend with whether they were a Beatles girl, aka a nice girl, or a Rolling Stones girl, aka a naughty girl. In the 1980s, it was Am I Miranda or Cyndi Lauper? In the 90s, the going answer changed weekly when they asked themselves, Am I a Miranda, Carrie, Samantha, or Charlotte? And in the early 2000s, for those of you who avidly tuned into MTV's Laguna Beach or The Hills, that question very quickly became, am I an Elsie, an Audrina, a Kristen, or a Low? Now, for the record, I was 100% that low. It was the first time I had been introduced to Lauren Bosworth, and I remember feeling instantly comforted by her soft-spoken ease as a teenager. She was cool, collected, and confident, all of which I was not in high school or for college, that matter. And Lauren was wise beyond her years, a constant rock for her peers. And when she spoke, her sound advice spoke volumes. It is for these reasons and a hell of a lot more that I chomped at the bit to have Lauren on the podcast today. So let's break down what Miss Bosworth is up to in 2020, shall we? Lauren Bosworth is the 33-year-old founder and CEO behind the leading female-first total body care company, Love Wellness. Lauren has made a name for herself as an entrepreneur using momentum from her decade-long career in television to shift her focus to creating and running a modern feminine care brand from the ground up. Love Wellness was born in 2016 after Bosworth began experiencing chronic health issues for over 5 years that she couldn't fix with traditional drugstore offerings and prescriptions. With the guidance of doctors and some trial and error, Bosworth finally found relief through a holistic approach that combined natural products with an elevated and healthy lifestyle. Ultimately, through this journey, Bosworth became aware of the lack of innovation in the women's healthcare category and made it her mission to change it by sharing the information she had learned with women everywhere. Love Wellness initially launched with a focus on creating better-for-you feminine care products, but has since grown to include multivitamins, supplements, and other products to help women tackle issues like gut health, metabolizing stress, having and enjoying sex, which can be two very different things, and of course, the ever-growing list of skincare and beauty woes. Beyond products, Love Wellness is committed to giving women support and the space to learn, engage, and share experiences with each other through the brand's community platform, The Love Club. Bosworth is seeking to change the narrative around self-care culture and empower women to feel supported, welcomed, and safe during their wellness journey. So I, for one, am honored to share the next hour with Lauren. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome the incredibly lovely Lauren Bosworth to the OTR Zoom room. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi. Wow. That is like the nicest intro anybody has ever put together about me. You are so kind.
Oh my God. I remember, you know, I know, listen, life has passed and so much has happened in for you and to you since you graced all of us with the presence of your, you know, being a cast member on these shows. But I remember watching these shows and I was a little bit older than you guys. I think I was even out of college at that point. Mm-hmm. But I just remember looking at you and being like, that's like one of the first characters on television that I actually resonate with, because you didn't, there was no force. There was no, I mean, you might have been like shaking in your booties, you know what I mean? Inside and internally. But what I saw was just someone who was just so beyond their years, so wise and just so confident. Is that accurate? Do you feel like you felt like that as a young adult?
Some of the time. I feel like, yeah, for the most part, I think I feel like that. You know, it's interesting. Somebody on my team sent around that 16 personalities test thing yesterday where, you know, it's like are you, you know, EJTF or, yes, or whatever. And mine came back as INFP, which is a mediator personality. And, you know, it means that, you know, I like have a vision. I'm like the port in the storm for a lot of people. And, you know, I read it and I was like, oh yeah, this, yes, this is me.
It very much translated. And I know it's just a snapshot and you watch these shows and obviously you were on the inside. We're like, there's probably a lot more going on in the background, but to watch you, I say this with respect, but while other characters in the show might've been flailing, you just always seemed sturdy, I think would be the word. And it doesn't surprise me that now life has put you in the throes of wanting to create sturdiness for other people, whether that's emotionally or physically or tackling things that they haven't been able to get ahead of. You know, and obviously you have your own experience to boot, which has inspired so much of Love Wellness. I would love for you to just kind of walk us back to the beginning of that for yourself. You know, what was... the show has ended, or maybe this was all happening while the show was taping, but what kind of chronic health issues were you dealing with in your life that ultimately inspired Love Wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved to New York City, and we'll even go back a little further. So I moved to New York City in 2012, and The Hills ended in 2010, if memory serves correct. And, you know, when I moved to the city, I was really excited about the next chapter of my life, but I think in a lot of ways I was trying to run away from the entertainment industry, from LA, from a lot of things that brought me discomfort that, you know, people experience once they have been firmly planted in the public eye. And, you know, some people deal with that really well, you know, that kind of attention fills them up. For me, I realized very quickly, you know, when I was first on television, that it did the opposite for me. It made me want to kind of turn into myself and shy away from, you know, people and things and experiences. And I think, you know, part of reality TV, at least in the era that I grew up in, you came to feel a lot of judgment from people. You know, it's like when gossip blogs were first becoming a thing and, you know, the internet was first becoming a thing. And I mean, you know, up until that point, I was a kid that had never really faced real adversity, right? And all of a sudden I was a public figure and people had an opinion. And it's hard, you know, as a kid to figure out how to deal with all of that attention and energy. And so I think, you know, when I moved to New York City, I was still trying to figure out for myself how to move beyond this experience that I had had. And so physically changing my location seemed like a good first step.
Can I ask how old you were when the show first started taping, just to give people an idea?
So The Hills was taping when I was in college, when I was at UCLA, and then Laguna Beach filmed my senior year of high school. So my junior year of high school, they came to Laguna and they were like, hey, we're making a show. Do you guys want to do it? And, you know, we had no concept of what it was going to be. And so a group of us signed up. So gosh, I was probably 16, you know, when they first rolled into town.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, so I moved to New York, I think, trying to carve out a new path for myself. I wasn't really cognizant, I think, of like sort of the emotional reality that I was trying to escape something that had been really challenging. And anybody that's listening to a certain degree probably thinks like, oh, you're so lucky, you're on a reality show, you were given all of these things. And yes, absolutely. But, you know, there's two sides to every coin. And I think what I have learned to navigate as a result has turned me very much into the adult that I am today and drives a lot of my success. But you know, there's still things that sort of like emotional undertones or currents to my life that, you know, have been created as a result of this experience. And I don't know if they would be there otherwise. You know, so I deal with both the good and the bad of all of this, right?
Can you speak to just a little bit? I mean, I think that that is so high value to impart that to the listener that, like, yes, mm-hmm. this is again a snapshot, and there's a lot of things emotionally that are happening underneath the ocean, you know, floor. And, you know, when you say that it was a time of judgment, what did you specifically feel judged for?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, you know, it's interesting because when I participated in Laguna and the Hills, sharing my personal life was something that I was never comfortable with. And so, you know, from those very first days, like in our principal's office, talking to the producers of this show, I was like, I'll do it, but I don't want to be dating on camera, getting in fights with people, whatever, you know? And so I sort of drew my line in the sand when I was really young, and I'm very thankful for that. But I think as a result, you know, being a secondary cast member on a show sort of just makes you, like, in the long term, feel like you are not as good as other people on it, you know? So you're sort of living with that, like, syndrome of, you know, being the middle kid. Do you know what I mean? Yep. And so I think for me, part of it is, you know, trying to kind of break out of that narrative for myself and sort of have people know that know me that I am a complex human, you know what I mean? With my own like goals, drive, reality that I'd like to manifest, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I think reality shows, unfortunately, that snapshot that we're talking about, it can minimize the wholeness of someone, you know? So you're yeah. on the show and you're in these micro moments and there's these dramas happening around you, but all the while there's Lauren Bosworth, who is dreaming of her future, you know, and contesting with her past and reconciling what it is to do all of that. And it's so incredibly difficult to do that in general, let alone mm-hmm. while being filmed. And so, you know, to kind of belabor this point, it's just, it is so beautiful that you have turned some of your own, I guess, reconciliations into something that can help people, you know, because of all of these things that I think go unnoticed and unattended to as women. There's so much emotional, you know, fire to go through that for you to be someone that can bring a sound kind of buoy to people, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, I think for me, like most people, you want to be seen for who you really are, right? But then you kind of come up against this wall of what am I actually comfortable sharing with people? What do I still want to keep to myself, et cetera, et cetera? And so it can be complex, I think, as somebody in my position to decide how to really move forward, you know, in the public landscape and, you know, figure out how you want to live your life.
You absolutely. Know what I mean? Do you think that some of that was living, you know, I'm just jogging my memory back to high school and you know, I think in general, you go through high school and you're not going to come out alive in certain ways. Like you're going to be contesting with things. Do you think that you went into the show feeling a sense of that unseenness already? Like, was it in you?
No, it actually was the exact opposite. You know, I know a lot of people have a challenging high school experience, but mine was the exact opposite. I was really, really good at high school, you know, at managing my social life and the social scene. And being on television actually really like quieted my personality and turned me into more of an introvert. And it's interesting because I think, you know, I just wasn't used to being like judged on such a grand scale.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so that reality of like, oh, people are like thinking things about me that are not the nicest or thinking about me at all. How about that? Was kind of like shocking to me and surprising. I had just lived my life up until that point, like pretty happy, you know, going at my own speed and I was okay. You know what I mean? until literally people knew who I was, and then, you know, they could start passing their own judgments.
Well, and can you
who I am as a person?
Absolutely. Can you imagine, like, that was happening in 2006, 2010. I know that The Hills was on, but, like, can you imagine now, right? It gives such great perspective that I don't even know if Instagram was around in 2010.
No, it wasn't.
and it felt like that. So it just gives some unbelievable perspective to the reality world now, and just, I think, the torment I think that people can experience as a result of making a choice to do something. Like, yeah, of course we'll be on the show. That sounds great. I don't know who wouldn't jump at that chance. But then there's, to your point, the other side of the coin, which is, you know, there's the experience and then there's the cost. And now here you are. You know, and years have passed. It's 10 years since The Hills wrapped, and you have made a name for yourself in such a different way. How do you feel now, you know, in your own skin?
Different, I think. I think, you know, I was so determined to, you know, create that narrative for myself after the show ended that, you know, it has been a relentless pursuit in, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because I think I'm much more of like a quote unquote normal person than most people that choose to participate in reality TV. So I watch reality TV like the average human does. And I'm like, oh, you know, that person's dumb, that person's smart, that person's whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a human being. So I form opinions of other people. And I think I've just always been trying to change the story for myself, you know, like I'm not this, you know, dumb blonde girl that doesn't add much or doesn't take much away. I'm not some neutral force. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I think for me, building this company, in addition to, you know, addressing and really solving a lot of my own health problems, I'm trying to sort of conquer the world in a different way for myself. You know what I mean?
I think that is brilliant. I totally understand that on a cellular level. And just so that you know, and I don't know how much this would mean now, but watching you, if this is at all comforting, I just would never think that you, Kate, that you thought in any way, shape, or form that you were the middle child. You just seemed... It's almost like how some people feel like high school, like life peaks in high school. And then there's these other people in high school where it's like, oh no, this isn't it. Like there's this whole other world after this that I'm going to extremely excel in. That's how you came across. You came across as someone who, not that you were too good for the show, there was no ego, there was no snobbery. It was just kind of like you were biding your time and you knew that there was greatness to follow. And I loved that because that's what I wanted in a mentor. I wanted to know that high school and college wasn't it, and that there was a world to explore, you know, and to redefine yourself. And I think that is just a, you know, something I want to share with you, just so you know, I think how you maybe accurately also came across to other people versus being our own worst critic.
Yeah, and we are all of our own worst critics, aren't we?
Absolutely. The joys of life. Okay, so I cut you off. You were kind of talking, you were getting into the ultra fun topic of personal chronic health. But so you're now in New York City and mm-hmm. you're living your life, and what starts to show itself?
Yeah, so I had been living in New York for a few years and I was still sort of on the path of entertainment. I hadn't really figured out that, okay, you know, I don't really think that this is the life for me long term. And, you know, I was still working with my agents really closely and creating a lot of content. And I am deeply passionate about food and cooking. And still, I'm extremely passionate about that. It's my favorite hobby. And so I actually went to culinary school when I was in New York, at my agent's recommendation. And for a while, we were in, you know, discussions with some of the food cooking networks about, you know, food TV and, you know, could I have a cooking show? And for a long time, you know, honestly, since I was a kid, I dreamed I could be sort of like a Martha Stewart or whatever. And So I wanted to pursue that. And throughout that process, I would say starting in 2014, 2015, my health started to deteriorate, but I didn't really understand why. I was in a really challenging romantic relationship. And so I know that that definitely contributed to it. And at that time also, the deal I was working on with Food Network and Cooking Channel fell apart. It didn't materialize. You know, we were sort of like in the negotiation steps of moving forward on a show. And then, you know, it just didn't happen. And so for me, it was like this great reckoning. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do with myself? You know, these people don't want me. You know, I've been creating all this content and working really hard at this goal, and it's not going to happen. And I think that that was sort of the tipping point for me emotionally. And then everything in my body that was going wrong, all of the stress kind of consumed me. So I was dealing with really bad depression and really bad anxiety. And I've always been somebody who has like underlying anxiety and like a little bit of OCD, but it didn't really manifest in my life until I was, you know, in my very late 20s, early 30s. And, you know, so I was dealing with this depression and anxiety. And then I also had a ton of gut health issues, but I didn't really realize that until, gosh, maybe 16 to 18 months into this journey of trying to figure out why do I feel so uncomfortable all the time. And that led me to have all different kinds of weird problems, brain fog, chronic infections that landed me at the OBGYN all the time. Just something was wrong. And I kept going to doctors and different practitioners, and they were just like, it's just stress. It's just stress, you know, like, and, but for me, I knew somewhere deep down that it was more than that. Like, of course it was stress. And stress can turn into depression and anxiety and make it become worse and worse and worse, of course. But I felt like there was something like physiologically like wrong in my body. There was just something off because I had never felt this way before, and I'd never felt so severely uncomfortable. And so, yeah, about 18 months into seeing, gosh, all different kinds of doctors, practitioners, naturopaths, healers, whatever, you name it, I saw it, I did it. My general practitioner finally ran a blood panel to check for my vitamin levels, which now is much more common practice. This was in 2015, I think. They finally did this test, and like nobody knew what I was talking about back then, because I have written a couple blog posts about it and gotten so many questions when I published it, you know, at that time. And it turns out that I was suffering from really severe vitamin deficiencies, specifically vitamin B and vitamin D. And both of those vitamin deficiencies can lead to neurological issues, you know, like anxiety and depression, brain fog, all the things that I was experiencing. I literally felt like physically off balance, like all the time. Seriously, it was crazy. And, you know, I was in such bad shape that my doctor gave me a vitamin B12 injection and like wouldn't let me leave her office until she had like given me this shot. She's like, sit down. We need to start treating you now. I was like, oh my God, okay. But I felt at the same time like overwhelming relief because I felt like I finally had some kind of diagnosis. I wasn't just like grasping at straws trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And a huge part of this is genetic, and another part of it relates to gut health issues, which you mentioned at the very top of the show. And so once I had this quote unquote diagnosis, I was like, okay, how do I fix this problem outside of just, you know, supplements, different kinds of products, because obviously, you know, that was the way forward for me. And if anybody says that supplements don't work or vitamins don't work, I beg to differ, because they, you know, totally helped me get my health back and, you know, who I am back as a human being. But yeah, it was such a pivotal point for me because I realized I needed to reassess pretty much every aspect of my lifestyle. And so many people like me are sick in the same way because of our lifestyle, but it's not purposeful. It's because we live in 2020. It's because the food that we eat is processed. It's because we've been taking ibuprofen and antibiotics our whole life. And, you know, we're in pretty bad shape because of environmental factors around us. And it requires, you know, taking a hard look at who you are and what you do and how to sort of like untangle yourself from sort of these creature comforts that we have come to rely upon our entire lives to live a cleaner, more healthy life so that we can literally, you know, make it to the end of our lives in a happy, fulfilled and healthy way.
That last part is the whole, you know, it's the whole thing. It's what we're all after. It's not just to be alive and to have marked time. It's to not feel the weight of our ailments and to not feel the insecurities that come from visiting yet another doctor or specialist and having someone tell you to get more sleep. You knew it in your body that something was physiologically off. And we can, yeah. You know, we've all been in these romantic relationships that weren't serving us and were causing these deep dormant feelings of anxiety and just out of our body, like this is not the relationship I should be in, and I know it, and I got to get myself out, and so therefore that presents stress and depression and a lot of different neurological reconciliations, so to speak. But you know when it's more than that, you know when it's manifesting physically. And I think to your point, that moment that you went to the doctor and someone said this is real and validated you and said, right now I need to give you this B12 shot and we need to put you, you know, we're going to diagnose this now and we're going to put you on something. Just that alone, that's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's totally. An answer. It makes you not feel crazy. And then with that light, you then ignite change. You know what I mean? I would almost argue that you getting that doctor's validation set you on the path that you're on now.
Absolutely, 100%. I remember I was laying in bed early and my lab results came in and I was still in that bad relationship. And I remember just immediately opening the email and breaking down. And I was just so emotional, but I was thrilled. I was thrilled that I had a direction. It was like, yeah, this is not great, but oh my God, it's something that yes. I can hold onto.
Yep.
And yeah, it was life-changing for me. And it absolutely, you know, long-term drove me to create Love Wellness because all of the lifestyle changes I put into practice are reflected in the brand, you know, and in all the products that we make. But yeah, it was the turning point for me. And in a lot of ways, I have come to appreciate this really challenging moment in my life, perhaps, you know, one of the most challenging moments in my life, and try to see kind of the beauty and the grace in it. You know what I mean? And I think I try to remember that all the things that I'm doing now and working for now are to set myself up for the rest of my life. And this period of time does not have to define me forever and ever. You know what I mean? Because I think when you go through a challenging time, it's hard. It can take years to move away from, you know, that trauma or that moment. And it's hard to remember, oh my God, I probably have, you know, 40 to 50 more years ahead of me. And how do I want those 40 to 50 years to look?
Yep.
Do I still want to be suffering and swimming in this discomfort? Heck no.
Yep. And some people, you know, I think that's why your existence is so will be remembered, because there are some people that don't have the tools and just don't have, I don't know, the strength, the inner strength to create something out of their nightmare. And so then there's people like you out in the world who do that work. I mean, your website is literally filled with, it's like a one-stop shop. And I hate to sound like, you know, very salesy right now, but when I first looked at the site, even before this interview was in the books, it was like, you can literally just do everything here. There's vaginal suppositories, there's gut health, there's neuro, you know, all of the kind of dormant neuro health, which all kind of feeds into the same thing, yeah. Right? You help yourself in one way, you start seeing benefits, then you're happier. Yeah. And so it all begets each other. But
yeah, it's really all connected, actually.
It is very brave, I think is just the word that I want to share with you. It's very brave to go through what you went through to have to stomach a lot of the emotional stuff that you have had to stomach in your life, maybe some of which was unexpected and unforeseen. You go in innocently to these things that you say yes to, and then you come out of it feeling a different way. And I can imagine that that is laced with, contemplations and regret and just finding out who you are outside of what people think you are. And you have so wonderfully solidified yourself in the wellness world because of your own personal experience. And I don't know, I mean, find me one person that wouldn't understand why you not only have the experience to impart wellness on other people, but you've walked the walk and talked the talk. And so it's a trusted source.
Thank you. That's nice. Yeah. I think, one thing for me as a person is that I'm always problem solving, whether it's my problems or other people's problems. If you know me and, I'm in your life, I'm always trying to figure it out for you and for myself. When I was so sick and so uncomfortable, a big part of my recovery was, how do I problem solve this? How do I figure this out? And once I did, part of continuing that journey to healing was sharing that story. And I did have a platform, I did have an audience. And so I started talking about it. And it was kind of like public therapy sessions to a certain degree. I wrote a couple blog posts about it. And once I was honest, not only with myself, but then sort of my inner circle of friends and people who worked for me at the time, and then made the decision to expand that circle to, the internet, quote unquote, I really started to feel better. Mm-hmm. It was really helpful. It was like I was releasing all of this pent-up energy, stress, anger, sadness. And, I think I was in such a challenging place emotionally that I had to sort of unleash it, because I was so desperate for, love and attention and to be seen, you know what I mean? And I'm somebody that like rarely asks for help. I asked one of my best friends for help on something the other day. And I was like, oh my God, do you mind? She was like, this is the only time you've ever asked me for help in your entire life. So yeah, I'm happy to help you. And so I think for me, there's huge catharsis in kind of just putting my story out there and being like, I'm a vulnerable person. And, I'm sort of out here not begging you directly for help, but sort of like the universe, you know what I mean?
Yes. And it's redefining. I mean, it makes sense. You and I are very similar. I understand this wholeheartedly, and it resonates completely in terms of asking for help. And if you ask for help, then it validates the side of you that feels weak, and you should be able to figure it all out yourself. And if you're feeling like the middle child, then that's something the middle child would do, is ask for help and flail and be weak. So like, I need to figure it all out for myself so that I can leave these big marks. So it's no wonder why people like us go out and become entrepreneurs and go out and have these loud kind of not so good for us relationships. We can play with fire in certain areas because they're loud, and I'm sure, if you have a penchant for travel or, I didn't rescue a Chihuahua, I rescued a pit bull lab mastiff, right? There's like all of these big things that we go and do out in the world to leave our mark because we don't want to be what we think. But by you going out and sharing your story and having this community care, so to speak, that not only is like this micro call for help, but it's you telling the full story. And that's what I love about you. It's redefining yourself. And so often we think as people, people know me as this person, so now I'm forever going to be this person. And that's just not accurate. It's just not true. People mm-hmm. can redefine themselves and give contextual evidence in a myriad of ways that allows people to formulate different opinions about them. And so by you sharing that story, it is vulnerable, it's authentic, it's brave, there's a willingness there to connect. You don't just want to keep it to yourself. And then now as a result, again, you become this trusted source. People look up to you. People who aren't able to articulate things going on in their lives can look to you as someone who did. And it's all the way good. You know, it's like 100% all good things. And it's just a wonderful story, you know? And I think sometimes it's hard to as the person living it, to be like, have I done enough? And is this my purpose? But like, it's almost like you're in the golden years, you know, you don't even need to look back at it. Like you're doing it right now. You're in these like amazing years of your life where you're creating change, not only for yourself, but for so many other people. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. I think, you know, when I first started to share my struggles and what I was going through, I learned for the first time that vulnerability is a really good thing and not a really bad thing. You know, because I've always been a private person and sort of somebody that pretended like, I'm okay, everything's fine, I'm not emotional, whatever. And when I flipped on this vulnerability switch, I could say, I realized that I had been living my life wrong up until that point. And by making the choice to open up and share things about myself, I was enabling myself to create better relationships, more fulfilling friendships, et cetera, et cetera. You know, your relationships get better when you allow yourself to be vulnerable.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that, but vulnerability is a strength and not a weakness. And for people that, you know, ego or bravado can sometimes get the best of them, think about vulnerability as a tool. You know what I mean? It really is one of the sharpest tools in my shed.
And it's not how it used to be. You know, think about 30 years ago, if you decided to be vulnerable about something in your life, be it a relationship or, you know, your health, you would put that on a qualified audience of people who knew you, your friends, your family, people who probably weren't going to dissect you. Now, the ticket to being vulnerable is laced with bravery because it comes on the other end of judgment and rejection. So you could write a blog. It could be super vulnerable. You could have 100,000 people say, oh my God, I am Lauren Bosworth. I can't, she is me and I am her. And I'm so grateful for this. And then you'll have 100,000 people dissecting things that have absolutely nothing to do with the blog, you know? And that's the kind of world that we're living in now, is to put yourself out there. You've got to sit at the table of both, of the cost and the vulnerability. And I think it almost gives us permission just to like not even listen to it, because we shouldn't have to metabolize that as human beings. We've never had to metabolize this many opinions in our life. We've never had to know this many people. You knew your people, and you knew the people that your friends knew. But now it's like, you know, people in Aruba and Saudi Arabia and London and, you know, New York and all these places that you would never know them, quote unquote. But now you're also on the other end of their opinion. So that's why the work that you're doing is so much more meaningful, because it doesn't matter what you do. You know, and I always use like Angelina Jolie. It's like she's out there rescuing all of these children, but people are still going to say something about her in a negative way. And it's like, if you know that we can't escape that, if that's always going to be one of the things that we have to contest with while we're out there being brave and sharing, then it's almost permission to give it a mute switch. You know, it's just like, it doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, I think, you know, completely, I agree with you. I was just thinking while you were saying that, you know, I was talking about sort of like being a public figure earlier on in the podcast, and you know, it was in the early days of that, and it's challenging, but really everybody is a public figure now. God, if you have an Instagram or an internet presence, you are a public figure, whether it's a big figure or small or whatever, you know. And I think especially after 2020, everybody feels the pressure to be good, to say the right thing, to do the right thing, to look a certain way, whatever it may be, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And like the collective is buckling underneath this pressure. And, you know, this is the pressure that I have felt personally since I was like 17 years old.
Yes.
So it's like everybody knows what I've been dealing with now to a certain degree.
That is so well put.
It just dawned on me.
That is so well put. Yeah. And I think it's just not meant to, nobody has the toolkit You know, nobody has the like navigating this time for dummies book. You know, it's just completely the Wild West, and we're all doing the best that we can. And I think that's why you and I and so many other people in the world just need to give each other grace and forgiveness, because like if you're doing this perfectly, then you are not of this earth, and you're doing the best that you can.
Yeah, you know, human beings are not supposed to be accessible, available, you know, to everyone, for everyone all the time. Like, we're just not supposed to be.
Yep.
But we have created this environment in which we are, to a certain degree.
Yeah, or captioning moments. You know what I mean? Like, the pictures that you take just used to be these like weird, kind of gross pictures actually that weren't in focus and were blurry. And now it's like every meal has a caption and everything has a this and a that. And it's like we have to kind of define everything. And that's why I think your approach to life is, it's simple and effective. It's just kind of like, you know, I've been through some stuff. I want to help you. And this is what I know works. And this is what worked for me. And all the while, let's build each other up. You have a community of people that do that, and it simplifies the complexity, I think, in a lot of ways, which is why I love the vibe. I really think that you're putting something truly wonderful out into the world. I want to digress for one second. You might kill me through some of these questions, but I do it with love. I sometimes do these like quick fire questions that are just like, okay, like Lauren Bosworth off the cuff, like, let's just ask a few questions just to get a taste of who you are on the fly, and just go with me. There is 8 questions in total. Okay. What is the first thing you think of when I play this song? What's the first thing you think of when I play that?
I can't hear anything.
You couldn't hear it?
No.
Oh my God. It was the Hills theme song. I'm going to have to play that back when we do it. I can sing it for you. Something, there's something, dun, 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 dun. So close you can always taste it. Release your inhibitions.
Yeah, it makes me feel nervous.
You're like, honestly, and also because you just sang it. I'm nervous and anxious.
I'm like, how do I hide from this?
Yep. Okay. Favorite restaurant in New York City?
All right. It's called Suen. There's only one location left. They closed my favorite location on 6th Avenue. Like, amazing macrobiotic food.
Yum. Who do you miss the most right now?
Who do I miss the most? You know, I'm actually at my parents' house right now, and she's just in the other room, but I miss my mother the most.
I think that might be the answer of the year for many people. How would you describe yourself in 3 words?
3 words. Give me a minute while I think. Is that okay?
Yes, of course. Okay, so can you name any of your mentors?
Yeah, you know, mentors for me don't have to be, you know, brave heroes that everybody knows. You know, my mentors really are my parents, people that, you know, value family and love. So I think everybody in my family, you know, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, those people are my mentors.
I love that. Okay, we're going to come back to the 3 words, but if you could be granted one wish by midnight tonight, what would it be?
If I could grant one wish by midnight tonight, I think that it would be I know this is going to sound silly, but I guess I would just hope for world peace, truly.
I think if that's a silly answer, like that just has to be the answer right now. Anything other than that is actually silly. Okay, and do you have like a go-to uniform or outfit where you feel your best? Like if you put X and Y and Z on, you're feeling comfortable or sexy or cozy? Like what's your optimal feel?
Yeah, I do. I really am like, I love a fall outfit. So I feel great in a pair of leather pants, like, you know, high-heeled boot, chunky boot, a sweater, and like a great long coat. That's when I think I feel my best.
I love that. Okay. And what are your favorite products on Love Wellness? Like what are your go-tos?
Sure. So my Well, I have many favorites. One is Good Girl Probiotics. So it's a probiotic that's different than a probiotic for like gut health. It specifically supports women's reproductive health, vaginal tract health, urinary tract health. So if you, you know, deal with any of those issues, UTIs, yeast infections, whatever, this probiotic will basically solve all your problems. And it's because the gut is connected to, you know, all of those systems within the body, and making sure that you have a diverse, microbiome is really important to that overall immunity. And then I love Sparkle Fiber. It's one of our newer products, and fiber is God's gift. It is the secret to all of life's happiness, but many people are not really clued into that. It helps improve energy, clear skin, bloating, et cetera, et cetera. So fiber is definitely high on my list. And then I really love Bye Bye Bloat. I was somebody that was like always bloated. And so literally created Bye Bye Bloat to help with that. It's full of ginger, dandelion root, fenugreek, digestive enzymes. And it is one of our best-selling products for a reason, because it actually works. And, you know, we have a lot of brands that have kind of copied Bye Bye Bloat now, but none are as good as the original. I can guarantee that.
That's how it normally goes. Okay, I'm going to ask you, do you have your three words? If not, we can move on, because I know it's a very, you know, sure. It's a loaded question.
Yes. Okay. I'm intuitive. I think open-minded. I know that was two words, but we'll say it's one. And I think the last word is kind.
I honestly was thinking that. It was literally in my brain. I was like, I hope she says kind. God.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is kind of like, I guess, a tag along question to the question asking you about your favorites. But let's say someone goes to the site and someone's like, okay, I'm new here. But I feel like there's just some sub-level things that a lot of women are feeling, and like they wouldn't know it. But if you were to ask them, like, do you feel bloated a lot of the time? Yes. Do you feel foggy sometimes when you wake up? Yes. Do you feel, you know, is there some wonky stuff going on downstairs where there's flora that's messed up and like you're insecure about having sex, or there's pain, or there's all of these things? Like, I just feel it's really sad to say, and I'm sure you know this from talking to your client, but it's just kind of just there. So if the woman who is dealing with these dormant issues goes to the site and doesn't know where to begin, like, what would you recommend?
Well, we have a really helpful quiz that's on the site, first and foremost, that can help guide you to the right product for you. So definitely recommend starting there. But I would say, and this kind of ties back to an earlier comment in the show, you know, we are living in 2020 where environmental factors can really mess you up. And this generally takes place in the gut, because that's where we're putting a lot of stuff into our bodies, right? It passes through the gut and the digestive system. And so if you have a lot of weird, mysterious, sort of like underlying low-level symptoms of just all over the board, just weird stuff, right? Brain fog, inflammation, bloating, pain, not a lot of energy, whatever it might be, you more than likely have a gut health issue. And that can be a lot of different things. You may not have enough diversity in your microbiome. You may not have enough good bacteria in your microbiome. You may have leaky gut, which has not been like proven by science that it exists, but it definitely exists. You may have an overgrowth of candida, which can cause brain fog and bloating and yeast infections. But it's really hard to ascertain this. And you have to kind of go down like a long road of tests, from like stool samples to blood tests to whatever, to really get like a complex look and understanding of your insides. And so I would just say that like a probiotic is a really good place to start if you suspect any of these things, because probiotics are generally affordable. They're not going to harm your health. And if you start to feel better after taking a probiotic, like it's a it's a pretty good indicator that, like, yeah, I was spot on. You have some kind of gut health issue. And just like you were talking about skin, there's different microbiomes like all over the body. You know, like your skin as it relates to acne is one. You have one in your gut. There's like a there's a gut brain connection. You know, you have your microbiome in your vagina. Like, bacteria run the world, boys and girls. And so you want to be full of good bacteria and you want your digestive system to be operating optimally, because you also take in nutrients and get rid of excess and toxins through your digestive system and through your liver. And so never before have we paid so much attention to our digestive system, right? But it is the root and foundation of who we are. And a ton of our products are targeted issue specific for different things, right? For skin, for mood, for sleep. But if you don't have a gut that is healthy and in check, you are going to have all of those problems. And so, you know, our supplements like Mood Pills and Lights Out and whatever are sort of like cherries on top of things that are kind of in progress of getting fixed or solved, right? But starting with the gut is what I recommend to every single person if they can't quite put their finger on whatever it is that's going wrong.
I love that. That is brilliant. Okay. So with respect to your time and the rest of your day, I would love for you guys for you to share with our listeners just how to keep in touch with you, how to stay in the loop. Like, give us the websites, the Instagrams,
sure,
all the things.
Absolutely. So you can get Love Wellness on lovewellness.com. You can get it at Ulta Beauty, at every Ulta Beauty store, on Ulta.com, at Amazon. And then this is airing end of December. So definitely be checking out the Love Wellness feed and my feed for a really exciting retail announcement happening at the very top of the year. Pretty much probably your favorite store we're launching in nationally. So,
oh my God,
you're about to be able to get us everywhere.
So we are literally, and we will share all of that in the show notes for you guys listening. So we'll have the website. Obviously, you can follow Lauren at Lo Bosworth, LoBosworth, and at Love Wellness. We'll link all of that in the show notes. If you guys loved this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or wherever you like listening to your favorite podcast and give us a 5-star rating, leave us a review, and go to Love Wellness and just, you know, take the quiz, check yourself out, give yourself that elevated care. We don't need to live with these things. Lauren has made it extremely accessible and easy for us just to beta test and explore and you know, answer the questions that will ultimately lead us to our optimal health. Lauren, I appreciate your time so much. I hope that our paths cross. I left Los Angeles after 17 years and moved to Idaho 2 months ago because I needed to get out of that city. So if you are ever in Boise, Idaho, and would like to go skiing or, you know, I don't know, anything. Grab a glass of wine, like whatever it looks like. I would love to keep in touch. I wish you the best. And I just so appreciate you and your time and your vision and everything in between.
Thanks. It's so nice to chat with you, Annie. This was great.
Awesome. All right, my friends. Thank you guys. Go follow us at Off the Record with You or at Skin Owl on Instagram. Visit us, skinowl.com. And we will catch you next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. You and me, I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, put me in, put a finger to my lips, 'cause I can't say I've got what I would do off the record with you.